This is Night Force Action Report for July 23rd, 2013. From HorribleNight.com, I am Justin Lacey. Joining me to report in this evening, we've got Ethan Moses.
Hey, good evening.
Hello. And also hello to you, Aaron McNeil.
I'm a detective. Hello.
What do you detect?
I detect a lot of Night Force.
It's like the worst amount of Night promotion.
I watched Night Force to learn about Night Force.
This is the video game podcast from HorribleNight.com, where we check in on the games we've been playing and offer up some game pitches. But first, let's get caught up on Ethan Moses, who's melting away, trapped in concrete right now. What else has been going on outside of your hot home?
Well, I finally saw Pacific Rim this weekend. Maybe not finally, because it hasn't been out that long.
Wait,
wait,
you got false advertising in your notes, because Pacific
okay. Yes, Pacific fucking Rim, because it was Pacific fucking awesome. That was a great movie. Word of caution to you, though, if you're one of those pieces of shit on Reddit that loves science so much and everything has to be accurate, don't fucking go see the goddamn movie. I don't want to hear your shit about science and how the movie's inaccurate and how it's not a movie about accuracy. It's a movie about fucking fun. I had so much fun. I was smiling ear to ear. I felt good. I raised the fucking roof, dude. I haven't done that for at least 3 weeks. I was that excited about it. And as soon as I got online, I was like, you know what? I'm excited. I'm going to find other people that are excited like me. I got onto Reddit, and I should have done that, and I know I should have done that.
Why do you you hate Reddit so much, but you go there more than I do?
I like it because there's people on there that I like, but the people – and I need to get past this because – There are more good people there than bad people. But the bad people get under my skin. Some guy went into this whole big spiel about how the weight of the distribution of the weight would crumble everything. And I was like, if I saw you, I'd punch you. I would bully you. I don't like bullying, but I would bully this guy. I definitely would. That movie was awesome. Holy shit. Go see that movie. Don't think of it as anything but a fucking robot punching fest, because... Oh my god!
Why is that not
actually
the name of it?
I was gonna say that's a better title.
it should be. That should be the name of it. But no, great movie. I was really excited about it. I don't want to spoil it for anybody. I'm excited. Yes. More of that. I'm gonna go see it again probably this week sometime.
We should actually
probably
just
by myself
incorporate that into our review ratings. Just yes or no. It's just,
it'll be a lot easier.
Pacific fucking Rim. Yes.
Yes. Absolutely. Yes. The other thing I did, which was still in the realm of geek, but in a different sort of way, is I played the game A Touch of Evil, which is a board game not unlike Arkham Horror for anyone who plays board games. The whole point of the game is you pick a villain, you and your group of friends pick heroes to solve mysteries and eventually confront the villain. A lot of randomness, a lot of fun, set in like the Revolutionary War time, so that's a different time period, but that I'm used to. But still, it was fun. But the best part of it is all the heroes that you pick. You know, there's like this detective from the big city. He's all tough, a femme fatale. This army commander, and my character was a fucking drifter with like a hatchet in one hand and a handgun in the other. And then my buddy Rownow. He picks his randomly. He picks his character. It's a fucking playwright. It's a guy that's not even good enough to be an actor or a director. He's a fucking playwright. And we gave him shit the whole time because, like, you know, like, oh, like this evil has come to our land and there's only one man that can help us. And this playwright walks up and is like, I don't know if I should be here. Do you want me to go? Like, should I write? I'll write about this. Like, I'm perfectly okay with writing about these events, but I'm not going to interact with it. And lo and behold, and we were fighting a werewolf in this scenario, final showdown happens, and all of us are stocking up on weapons and shit like that, just getting ready for this battle, like getting pumped. And I think it's going to be me, because I've got a musket, and I've got a blunderbuss, and I'm just fucking, I'm ripe for the pickup. Like, I'm gonna insert my metaphorical, you know, foot into it, you know, a werewolf's penis, like right inside of it. And I'm ready to go. And
it's a tough shot. It's a skill shot.
That's a great skill shot. And so we're getting ready for the final confrontation, and then my buddy's like, oh shit, he had this way to transfer all of his points from combat, which he had none of, to cunning, which he had a shit ton of, because playwrights are cunning as hell, and so he could use his cunning to equate to his combat points. He walked in, it's a fucking playwright, dudes. You know what, everyone knows a playwright. Not even a movie, not even a screenwriter. Fucking playwright. Walked into the werewolf's lair, one-shot kill, fucking 11 rolls of dice, ding, 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 takes that shit out. Like, just ends it. And just, he might as well, he dropped the mic. He dropped the mic. We were all, like, stunned. I was like, you know, like, I was like, I'm a drifter named Heinrich with two guns, and I couldn't fucking do it. So, it was cool how it all turned out. Great game, but man, boy, was I pissed to get shown up by a
playwright.
Such a foppish fellow, so.
That's why board games are for everybody, Ethan.
Yeah.
That was the best pitch I've ever heard.
I want to play. I want to play. Aaron, what have you been up to?
So while not writing a lot of reviews and we'll get to that. I decided what better way to be boring and lazy than to have a triple movie night, load up some Netflix, and just go hog wild with whatever I could find on there. So Ryan Gleason, I think you guys remember, he was tweeting like maybe on Friday about watching a movie called A Good Old Fashioned Orgy.
That sounds like good advice to take from Twitter.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm like, he must be watching that on Netflix. I'll give it a try. It can't be as stupid as I imagine it will be. And, you know, that movie's pretty dumb. And Jason Sudeikis, a couple other names, Nick Kroll.
Okay.
It's like a lot of people that
have
shown up on it. It's like from 2011. It's not that old. Yeah, it feels like an old movie, though. There's not much to say. I mean, they pretty much... Jason Sudeikis is the main character. He lives in his dad's like old kind of beach house, and he's like, "Hey, we're about to get kicked out by the realtor. Let's throw one last good party." And the best idea they come up with is the orgy, because that makes sense, you know. Get all your friends together, and he's like, "Hey, let's just do it. Let's just fucking do it."
Is his dad involved?
No. His dad is... No, of course not. Oh,
okay. I just heard dad's
beach house. Throwing an orgy.
Hey, son, I'd love to be a part of a party where, you know, our dicks are in the same room, visible to each other. Oh, that sounds great.
Hey, Dad, you got any plans tomorrow evening? Boy,
how about a good old-fashioned orgy?
A good old-fashioned orgy.
This is what set off England's laws,
They do
laws,
say
man.
The title of the movie, and I took a drink. So I like to do that when the movie's title is said. So that got me feeling like I should watch something else, and I've been
cleanse yourself.
Yeah, cleanse myself. So I've been tiptoeing around watching Cabin in the Woods. I'm not a big horror guy.
I understand.
And I finally watched that movie, and I was awake. I was alive. Holy shit, Josh Whedon! That movie was fantastic.
Yes. Fuck yeah, it was. Oh man,
I don't even know. It was the best thing I could have imagined. I'm still thinking about it to this day. I went into work yesterday, and I'm like, is there a wiki about this movie? And I started reading stuff.
Probably.
I'm supposed to be working 9 in the morning, and I'm like, oh god, look at there. This monster was in the movie. There was a clown, and he would have been summoned by this thing. That's about as much as I want to get into, but I was like, holy, I got really into it.
We'll do a supplemental podcast. You can just tell us everything you. Yeah, everything
I was gonna say. I will come on that podcast because I bought the movie adaptation kind of book, like the guide, not the novelization, but like, you know, that showed all the behind the scenes shit. Like, oh, that movie got me. I've got Pacific Rims on the way too, but yeah, you gotta get the background info. But they put so much time and effort into the background of all these stories, and like even with like, you know, Cabin in the Woods, there were so many monsters they made. They made so many fucking monsters.
There were so many monsters.
Well, no, because you know, I mean. The like the climax of that movie, that's the scene they wanted to make, and then they just formed a movie around it to make an excuse to make that happen, which I fully support, because that was
I was fantastic. Drooling all over myself when it finally happened.
Oh my god, dude, that was an awesome scene. That is one of the greatest scenes in any movie I've ever seen in my entire fucking life. I
had strong regrets that I didn't even go to the theater. I'm like, I don't like to be trapped in a room with sweaty, gross people I don't know, everyone being afraid of something, but I would have loved to be in a crowd, a dark crowd, just everyone going insane in the final third of that movie.
What if this crowd was at a beach house and you're...
and then invite my dad and... So that was the best movie I watched that night, but I did watch a third. And that one was called Lockout.
I don't know this one.
Guy Pearce goes into space, and there's like a space prison, and he's got to save the president's daughter.
Yes!
That was my the second best movie.
Wait, what was this, the president's daughter doing in space?
She went up there to make sure the prisoners weren't being mistreated. And then they take over that space station, and they're like, you gotta get the president's daughter out. From the producers of Taken, and the girl who plays the president's daughter is the same daughter from Taken.
Wow. She loves being taken. She absolutely
does.
Yeah,
she gets trapped and put in all sorts of crazy situations.
I can imagine her agent, she's like, yeah, we got another kidnapping movie. Yes.
She's like, yes. I'm prepped. I'm in the zone. I can play a trapped lady all night long. That movie could have been a little crazier, but I was riding the hype from Cabin really hard, so I was expecting some zaniness, and the beginning of the movie made me believe it was going to be like that, but maybe once they got into space, it wasn't as crazy as I wanted it to be. I wanted some like space fights, like they go out, put suits on, and just prisoners fighting in space, but it's like they're just in a prison, so it wasn't all that exciting.
Lockout 2, space fight.
Space yeah, fight. I got a script. I got a script for them, producers of Taken. Take that fight to space for real.
That's the only place that Taken 3 can go, right?
Taken 3 will be Lockout and Taken together.
Yeah.
Taken 3, the Gray 2 space fight.
The wolves are up there.
Yep.
Space wolves.
Man. We always make these great pitches at the beginning of the show, and that's not even the point.
Sideline that for the end.
Not much has been going on. I can't compete with your trifecta there, Aaron. I did watch the debut episode of Newsroom. Do either of you guys watch that?
I have not watched it. It
looks good, but nope.
Every now and then, the only thing about that show, I love that show, but every now and then, with Jeff Daniels as the main character, he just gives me these weird Dumb and Dumber moments that I don't know if he's throwing them in on purpose or if I'm just noticing them. But this season's starting off pretty well. I like the fact that the show takes place 2 years in the past, so the season's in 2011, and they base a lot of it around actual news stories, and it's kind of cool to kind of relive some of the major news stories. Like this one's like right before the Occupy Wall Street stuff starts up, and last season just all the stories they were centered around were pretty true stories, which kind of limits them to you kind of know how the season's going to go if you know what stories they're going to follow, but it sounds like this one they're actually following kind of a fictional story too, so I'm kind of curious to see how that affects the storyline. I mean, it seems realistic, but they have a little bit more creative freedom with it. Beyond that, I happened to catch a link last night about 2 in the morning after I was putting together some of our podcast stuff to an Insane Clown Posse infomercial. Because did you know that those guys are still around, first of all?
Yes.
Yeah, Juggalos.
Is
the infomercial reminding people that they exist?
It is an infomercial for the 14th annual Carnival of whatever they're called. But it was just like they produced it like as a news show, and it was just the worst thing ever. And so I wanted to make people aware that that's out there.
All right.
It's terrible.
I watched a documentary about Juggalos, and I don't know if the documentarian was trying to shed light on Juggalos to make them appear as if they are just like you and me. That was kind of the theme I was getting. By the end of it, I just, like, I can't stand Juggalos. I just don't. Yeah. I don't understand what's happening. Faygo's great. I wouldn't spray it onto a stranger's breasts.
No.
That's a waste of Faygo. And that seems rude to me. It just, like, those ICP concerts, and I worked with someone who was really into ICP, and they seem pretty normal, but when you see these concerts, it's like anarchy, and I think that's kind of what ICP would love to have happen, is anarchy, and that's frightening shit. I hope no one's a Juggalo in the audience right now. I don't mean to insult you, but, like, fucking, like, dudes.
What other...
Like, grow out of it. Get out of the face.
What if ICP had a good old-fashioned orgy?
Oh, God.
Sleep on that.
It'd be like a Pigpen-style stink cloud around
it. Just a big cartoon dust cloud.
It was...
May go everywhere.
I think I was into ICP for about 18 months around my freshman year of high school. just like, you know, out of morbid curiosity. But it's just... It was like a time warp watching this. Like, this was... This was your shtick 14 years ago, and they're still doing it. And they put on this big like festival in random town in Illinois, and they like start promoting all the other musical acts that are basically they must be on their label, and they all look like Junior Insane Clown Posse members. Like, I don't even remember something. Like Twisted is still around. That was the only one that I recognized, but they also wear all the makeup, and it was. This is a bizarre thing to come across at 2 in the morning, so that's when I recommend watching it. But actually, don't ever watch it. So I'll try to come up with better material next week.
Juggalos need to step up their game. I forgot they existed with all the bronies going around.
let's move on to video games. Check out the new releases for the week. A bunch of random stuff. A little bit louder than last week, mainly because the Smurfs 2... comes out for everything.
Oh, are you serious?
Yeah. I can't believe they actually made that movie. I didn't think that first one did all that well because it looked god awful. But
they made a Smurfs movie, like live action.
Live action animated, yeah. Like,
well, we got three Alvin and the Chipmunks, so anything's possible.
That's true. It's the same. It's from the same vein. You're right.
Are the Smurfs like humans, like just blue, or are they animated? And
they're animated. It's like
what's Gargamel look like?
Gargamel is,
oh, man.
What's his name? Hank Azaria. Yeah, Hank Azaria is Gargamel. Neil Patrick Harris is in it. That's all I know about the Smurfs movies. But yeah, that tie-in game, I'm sure it's great. Stealth Inc., also known as Stealth Bastard, is out for PSN and PS Vita this week. It's definitely a Vita game for me. So,
Vita bros.
Recommend that if you like 2D platformers, stealth games. We got a Game Curious video up. Ethan, I think the biggest release for you, Shadowrun Returns.
Yeah, I'm excited about that.
Especially tell me about that.
What they did too. Well, it's a turn-based strategy game. Turn-based RPG, excuse me. If you'll remember, Shadowfall was believe a pen and paper RPG. They made it into a shitty first-person shooter like. Back in the Xbox,
I remember that
very beginning of Xbox 360 era.
I tried to like that game.
Oh, like and I didn't really. I like the concept of it because it's just like suddenly people just turn into fantasy type creatures and kind of combines fantasy and kind of cyberpunk. Excuse me, man. I think like a fly through down my throat. but yeah, I just more from this
get it
strategies
out.
Games. Yeah, yeah, I'm excited about that.
Best pitch they've had for that game.
I felt like one of those people reviewing the games eating the chili peppers.
How upset were you to discover that guy after your chili challenge?
You know what? I think in the last 3 years, we've come across games that suddenly get covered like 3 months later, or we've done something stupid that somebody does later on. I'm just not handsome enough. That guy was more handsome than I was, and that's people like to see handsome people eat hot peppers and talk about games. So,
I hear about that a lot.
Whatever. I almost want to be on YouTube and be like, oh, that's a really good idea. I tried that once, but I'm like, I'm not one of those fucking guys. I won't do that.
Don't be a Redditor.
I'm not. Yeah, I was gonna say. Okay, that's a Redditor thing. That's the bad side of my Redditor.
The distribution of the peppers when you're reviewing.
How many Scoville units? That's not enough. I could eat a million.
Let's see. Another Hot Shots Golf World Invitational for. I think that's the Vita game being released for PlayStation 3, which actually, looking it up, had some decent reviews. Game called Do Not Fall. I think that's a funny title.
Pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
It's bad. The Raven Legacy of a Master Thief, $25 on PC. I don't know anything about that, but $25 seems a little serious.
I think, point-and-click adventure game. It kind of looked cool. Oh, I like the trailer, so yeah.
I might take a gander, but $25. We'll see. Let's see.
It's an investment.
Kid Icarus is the Wii U Virtual Console release, and looks like an old Picross game is out for the eShop for the 3DS. Did you play any of the Picross stuff there, Aaron?
I played the 3D one.
Okay, yeah.
That one's a good game.
Yeah, it's solid. It's solid.
What's Picross?
I don't even know how to describe it. I don't know if 3D is like the rest of them, but it's pretty much like you destroy blocks and they've got numbers on them, and you need to destroy all the right blocks to make the object.
It's like a
hidden.
It's kind of like Sudoku Minesweeper, but you're
yeah.
You're making like pixelated graphics with it, or like.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
Too much math. Ooh. But I'll play it.
Cool.
Someone buy me a 3DS.
I'll probably have an extra one. They just announced that they're releasing a black 3DS XL, so I need to get rid of my red one, and you can have that one.
Cool.
Because I need to buy
one.
So
it's justified.
Yep. I think it makes sense. On to what have you been playing? Aaron McNeil, kick us off. Tell us some stories.
We're talking about the 3DS. I bought a game on the eShop during the Steam sale. That's a risky move to buy a new game
elsewhere
while Steam's giving you a bunch of good sale prices. But I bought Shin Megami Tensei 4, having never played a Shin Megami Tensei 1 through 3 game. And it's very accessible, though. You're pretty much a guy who's chosen to be a samurai, and you get the power to fight and tame demons to fight alongside you. I don't know what the point of anything is yet. I've pretty much been inducted, and I keep running into a dungeon and then healing and then going back into the dungeon over and over again.
That sounds awesome.
There's a dungeon in this RPG? I don't believe it.
Yeah, there's a dungeon in the RPG.
So, can you train or like? Can you?
I'm grinding.
Can you?
Can you grind?
Can you train any demon? Like,
as far as I can tell, yeah. And that's one of the best parts. It's kind of Pokemon-esque. Whereas Pokemon, you whittle the health down and throw a ball. But in this case, you negotiate the demon to join your side. You persuade them.
What do you have to offer?
And it's so hilarious. Like you'll be like, Aaron wants this demon to be his ally, and the demon's like, do you fear death? And I get like a choice of saying, I'm afraid, or I'm not scared. And you never know what
no
that
fear.
Demon wants you to say. So sometimes I'm like, I'm not afraid of death, and the demon just loses his mind. And he's like, well, I'm going to kill you then. And then the negotiation's off, and we're back to fighting. And I'm like, wait a minute, let's start things over again, guy. I want you on my team. And he's like, give me some money. So I give him some money. And he's like, give me some items. And so I hand over some items.
I'll make you macaroni and cheese on Thursdays. Final offer.
Yeah. And then he takes my stuff and runs. And so I curse a lot playing that game because I'm like, come on, you know, be on my side, the cool team, man. You know, we've got uniforms, and we're going to fight other demons, and they steal my shit and run.
I don't think the Winchester brothers would like this game at all.
Oh, man, that would piss them off. They've made some demon negotiations. They weren't happy about it, but, man, that would be... I mean, these are just grubbing-ass demons. They're not they're not your friend, dude. Look, Aaron, can I be real with you real quick?
Set me straight.
These demons aren't ever going to be your friend. They'll only hang out with you if you negotiate with them. Find a Pokemon. Go find a Pokemon, because Pokemon will be your friends for life, like in a stupid, ridiculous way. They'll let you abuse them forever and ever. Yeah. Demons, I don't know. I don't like the road you're going down. I'm nervous for you.
The game sounds awesome, though. The game is pretty good. I'm glad I bought it, but PF and chat, pretty much the main reason why I got it. I already owned Fire Emblem, so I bought Tensei 4, and I got $30 of eShop credit. I'm sitting on it, so maybe if Pokemon drops on the eShop, I can just get that.
Don't tell those demons about your eShop credit, because they're going to want it.
They're going to say, well,
they start giving your eShop credit.
I was watching the podcast last night, so...
I want Pushmo and Crashmo.
I've got them already. I can't buy them again.
So wait, you bought a game that you probably wouldn't have bought anyway, so you can get a free game?
Pretty much. Steam. That Steam state of mind. You just make you make decisions that make no sense.
Yeah.
Like buying Kane and Lynch 2.
That's the best thing you've done.
Oh man.
It was $4. Like $2.99? It was $4.
You didn't, say, yeah. You didn't get $30 of credit for buying that, though. So. You got a lot of trading cards.
You think you'll stick with it? I mean, it's RPGs are they take a lot of time, and you've got other games that you're playing.
Well, I've got Animal Crossing, and right. I don't play that forever, but the 3DS is already in my hand. Whenever I need to just take a break from my village, I just switch on
over. Maybe you should buy the Black DS XL 2, and then you keep both of them. You have one that is always playing Animal Crossing, and then you have another one that you can play during the loading screens, or while the fucking owl won't shut the fuck up and just take my damn fossils. Ethan's so uncomfortable right now.
He's so uncomfortable.
I just hate the fuck out of owls. Every time someone gets abducted by aliens, they always register an owl was with them. That's a true fact. Look it up.
I didn't know that happened.
Owls are abducting people.
How do you feel?
History Channel?
It's on the History Channel with that guy that looks like this. Like
the aliens guy. Every time they get abducted, there's an owl. And it knows everything. Right. The owl never tells us what he saw.
How do you feel about the new Hooters logo? They redid the owl.
They did?
What?
Yeah, look that shit up.
Who's ever paid attention to the Hooters logo?
I didn't know they had a logo. Do they have a logo?
It's an owl.
Oh. Wow. Because of that makes sense. I guess it makes sense.
I mean, they sell buffalo wings, so why wouldn't they have an owl? Boobs.
Boobs.
I gotcha.
What else are you playing here?
I've been playing some Torchlight 2. I'm getting back into Torchlight 2. Loots, clicking. I like it. It's fun. I fell off of it, and I think maybe it was just the character I was playing. I got too deep. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I want something fresh. I made a mage, and so now blue balls flying everywhere. And so that apparently gets me excited about games again.
But I did the same thing. Like, I had a character going, and I got to a point where I was like, I'm not having as much fun with this character, and I switched over, and I mean, that was that, like, 3-week period where I just played. I think I added, like, 50 hours onto my Torchlight 2 just in that time alone with a new character and did a new game plus and all that kind of stuff. You know, maybe our characters could meet for maybe like a play date. Could we set like a play date?
a blue ball on? Play date, yeah.
Yeah, I'd love it. I'd love it.
I bet that's a mode in that Disney Destiny game, actually. Play date mode.
I thought blue ball mode.
So, yeah, like, why did you pick up Torchlight again? Like, okay, you're getting loot lust.
Yes.
There's a lot of options out there. Why Torchlight?
I picked up because Nilmar in chat, the Steam sale going on, people were picking up games that they didn't already have, and so when someone's like, hey, I have this game, all of a sudden it just revitalizes me to want to play games I already own myself. So I'm like, hey, we could play this together. I haven't been playing it for a while. I'm blaming you, Nilmar. Strap in. But I want a good excuse. I want a reason to actually play that game start to finish, and I just haven't done that yet. And so if someone's there to experience it with me, maybe I will.
There's so many dungeon crawlers and so many loot games in the past 2 years. Like, if you are going to play them, there's no reason to solo them anymore. I would.
Yeah.
After my recent Borderlands run with four people, I totally... Yeah, I'll play with a crowd, but I can't see myself looting solo anytime soon.
That's my album title, Looting Solo. Steam. And the last game, I picked it up during the Steam sale just to promote one game I actually bought during that sale. That's not Kane and Lynch 2. Reus, is that how you say it, Ethan? You played this.
I think it's Reus. I don't know. Yeah, Reus.
I gotta
draw that out.
Yeah, I played that game for an evening. The tutorial is god-awful slow, and I don't know. I was like half watching TV. I don't even know what I was watching on TV. I just needed to look somewhere else. That tutorial is killer. But I played through the whole thing, and when I finally got into a real game, it picks up. Hmm. I was juggling giants like no tomorrow, and I was really invested. I was juggling giants like no tomorrow. Reus. But that's a fun game. It's like a strategy puzzle game, the way they've got that set up, and the little missions pop up to complete buildings in your villages that kind of spring up as you make land habitable. Like, and
Ethan, I think you were saying it was kind of like a peaceful game for you. Like, it was kind of relaxing.
Yeah. And I can get stressful, and I think that's one of my biggest objections to the game, is I felt like I'd get in a mode where I was just kind of hanging out. But, I mean, there's some micromanagement going along with it. But, yeah, it's really pleasant game. Graphics are great. Music's great. It just, you know, it's kind of one of those games that can kind of suck you in, and you can turn off reality because reality's harsh, man.
That's what I did. I just turned off reality, and I was jumping between villages, and one village is like, hey, destroy this other village to make us happy. And I was like, okay. I'll sacrifice this one. That's cool.
Yeah.
And I got all my trading cards, so that's a good evening.
Whoa. You got all the trading cards for Reyes?
Well, not all of them to make the badges, but all the drops. I should specify that.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I don't want to sell myself higher than I actually am. I still need cards. I almost cracked and bought some just for that game.
No.
They're like, I don't know how much they were, like 14 cents or something to buy a card. That's like the weirdest, you know, hesitation, hand hovering over the mouse decision I've ever...
Hey, man, supply and demand.
I don't know if I get the cards, but I'm in. Like, it doesn't, like, I don't get it, but I'm in. Like, it's just something to do, you know? Like, I like it. I've made 87 cents. I'm loving it. I'm making some big dough. Did you? Nice, dude.
I fucking bought the level 4 badge for the Steam sale. Because I, at the end of the level 3 badge, which I mean, got all this legitimately. I've not put any real Justin dollars into the marketplace yet. I've just been trading existing cards for 16 cents a pop or whatever they end up being. And then I got one of those foil cards and sold that for $2. And
what?
And then so... Yeah, for 16 cents a pop, I bought all 10 of the set to get my level 5 badge for the Steam sale. That's how I ended it.
I like to imagine some teenager just giving you $2 for this fake foil car.
That's the weird thing about it. That's why I know I won't spend real money, because at the end of the day, like, those things don't exist. Like, they're not real. Like, there's not really actually cards there.
None of our stuff in games exists. If you want to get to
it doesn't that make you so sad? Like, the amount of time we spend to create imaginary, like talk about Torchlight 2. Like, dude, I've got so much loot. I'm so happy about it. But I'm like, I just wish I could transfer it over to something, to a real money auction house. If only there was some way to implement
only someone,
that in a way.
Yeah, if someone made a real money auction house, more games need that.
I think so.
Someone needs to step up and be the first.
I was going to say, yeah. Maybe remodel an existing franchise, you know?
Yeah, maybe. Torchlight 2 could add one.
Torchlight 2, yeah. It's going to in Torchlight 3. I mean, if you look at the succession of Diablo versus Torchlight, they kind of move in similar directions.
Animal Crossing auction house. I thought about it.
Is there really one?
Justin and I could just sell fruits. They'd add more fruits.
Yeah, fuck turnips. Just, like, I'll go buy my apples, man.
Do you think the apocalypse is going to happen when people stop selling actual fruit and begin just selling Animal Crossing fruit?
I don't know.
And everyone's like, where'd all the fruit go? That the markets are completely barren. It's like, well,
I'm of the mind that
guys.
Animal Crossing is making a lot, is making some really great people. Like, I feel like it's teaching me a lot about doing chores that has translated. No, it's translated to my real life now. Like, just
are you digging up fossils in your yard?
Yes. and just yelling at raccoons. That's pretty much how my day goes.
Well, most people do that.
Are you actually interested in the trading cards after the sale, either of you? Are you going to...
Kind of. I'll probably fall off of it. You know, the summer sale does things. It pumps chemicals into your brain that don't normally exist, and you just start doing weird stuff. So give it like a week. Once that sale fever is completely gone, I'll forget I'm even getting cards when I play games.
Yeah, it's a good reason to jump back into games. I mean, I've been really struggling to settle on a game, and those cards are a really good reason to. It's a really good kind of breaking point, but I don't know why.
Give me a filter in my library so I can just see the games that offer cards, because
Isn't there one in the card section? You can go through the card section and hit. I mean, it's not in your library.
Yeah, there's that one.
But
that's not in the same order. But that would work because give me that, and then let me sort by the date that I purchased the game, because I was like 3 days into the Steam sale. I couldn't remember what I bought.
Yeah.
I was like, these are the problems I have that they need to fix. I won't sell any more emoticons, goddammit.
Occupy Wall Street.
I've made 4 cents off of emoticons so far. So
That's pretty good.
Aaron, tell me about your Skyrim adventures so I can tell people about my Skyrim adventures.
So you playing Skyrim made me want to play Skyrim.
Yes.
And I made a cat dude I was calling
Khajiit.
Him. The Khajiit is the proper terminology in Webster's dictionary. And
I don't think that's accurate.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's in there.
No, it's in there. It's just under furry.
It's under furry. So I've got my cat man running around, and I'm just trying to be a real jerk and stab people. And even Ethan has inspired me to play it, because I think all you guys are just using bows and arrows all the time.
Aaron the Khajiit.
And I really want to level up archery and just be sneaky as hell. And I'm like gaming the system, because I remember that if you kind of like walk into a wall while someone is nearby but can't see you, your sneak skill just keeps leveling up and up. Mm. And I'm like, I'm almost to the next level. Time to just sneak into this wall.
This wall can't see me.
So no one can see me. And so I got my own Lydia. I treat her like shit, too. I'm like, get out of here.
Jesus,
she got stuck on a rock because I told her to wait there accidentally. And I'm like, where is she? And so I'm pretty much just playing all the same quests I've already played like 1,000 times before. But now I'm a cat dude. And that makes it interesting again.
But when you're playing in first person, it doesn't fucking matter.
I put it in third person sometimes. Okay.
Have you noticed like any of the people treating you differently? Because I think that's a thing, right, in this game.
I haven't noticed anyone actually refer to me as being in story parts, someone I think referred to me as being a Khajiit. Yeah.
Because who's everybody? It's like the Nords don't like the Dark Elves. I know that's like the big
I know the Dark Elves were not liked.
Yeah. There's a graph somewhere of all the racism in Skyrim.
I'm sure there's Venn diagrams of it.
Well, the Nords don't like the elves, who don't like the cat dudes, who don't like the orcs.
Does anybody like the orcs, though? I feel bad for them.
I almost made an orc, and I was like, I don't like these orcs. No. So I made a cat dude instead. I'm racist myself, I guess.
We're in all kinds of things. I put another good chunk of time into Skyrim this weekend. I've actually been having fun just ever since Ethan was talking about how I should just get rid of the companions because they're annoying, and I agree. I'm gonna stick with Lydia. We're gonna hate our way through this together.
That's love, man.
Because I'm pretty sure she can't stand me either. It is lending itself to... I'm working on a tribute montage to Lydia since I accidentally killed her the other day. And we were...
For reals?
Yeah, it wasn't on purpose. Like, I won't hurt her on purpose other than with my words. So... Yeah. But, like, she had gotten lost because I was just hiking down a mountain... jumping on rocks you shouldn't jump on and stumbled into some location full of bandits and like I rounded a corner, was trying to shoot down these dudes and I just saw this figure like looked like they jumped off the roof and landed next to me and I thought the bandits were coming in from above so I shot them as soon as they landed only to discover that it was Lydia and she had
right in the face too.
Like she was trying to save the day, and so she like fell off.
I've got him.
Yeah, and she falls, and then you know she does her. She takes a knee, and that's like that's the only time she's really vulnerable for you to kill her. And I nailed her with an arrow, only to discover that I killed her. So then I took all my stuff back and then no, they end up actually reloading to the point where I could bring her back because we have to see those through together. But
yeah.
I kind of had a question. Good.
I love Lydia and the fact that we pointed out she has resting bitch face.
Yep, she does. if you haven't seen that YouTube video, she's just angry all the time.
Yeah, she's constantly in hate with Justin.
I have to what's her phrase when you ask her to do stuff, but she always says it very begrudgingly.
She's like, "I'm sworn to carry your burdens."
Yep. and then what else happened? There's one more. Like she got lost at one point. She was traveling like she was like scaling the mountain and just kind of we lost track of her for a couple hours. And oh, I know what I was gonna do. I was gonna ask you, Ethan, because I only put like 20-30 hours into my vanilla run of Skyrim back on the 360, and since I've loaded it back up on PC, I have all the DLC, but I don't know what content is a part of which DLC or if it is. So the first the first dragon I came across, like out in the wild, I ended up killing him, and then I think it was a dragon priest that just like spawned immediately after I killed him, and he almost tore me up, but I eventually killed him and got his mask.
Mm-hmm.
Are those dragon priests a part of the Dragonborn DLC, or
there is one dragon? No. Those are with the base game.
Okay.
Yeah, I've seen those guys before.
I've never seen one. Yeah. And I killed like 12 dragons. So
there's one dragon priest who is, or the original Dovahkiin who's the who's in that DLC. But no. Those, it's tough for me to even know what is different and what's not. All I know is that like the vampires are starting to attack all the fucking time. That's the Dawn Guard's up on your shit.
Yeah, they are. Vampires are just mentioned all the time, and I just have been ignoring them so far. But But yeah, I think that was near one of those, I want to call it a dragon roost, but like, that's the thing, when you're wandering around, there's just so many different types of icons and different landmarks, I can't tell apart what these are supposed to be, and so that was just like, that was that dragon head plate, like, where you can get one of the words you can shout.
The words,
so,
yeah.
And, so yeah, I was just confused if that was part of the DLC or not. But that was a cool fight, and if it wasn't for Lydia, I wouldn't have survived. So that's kind of I think that's where she kind of cemented her position with me. If I'm gonna like live and die by my bow, which is what I'm doing right now, I need her to tank for me. So but I will shoot her from time to time, just not on purpose. So at least she's loyal though too. That's the other thing I'll give her. Like.
She's real loyal. She'll teabag a person you kill.
What else have I been up to? This week's arcade challenge game is Sunset Riders. Either of you played that game?
I feel like I've heard of it, but I don't recall what it is.
Racing game?
No. It's more of like a Contra-style shooter, but on the Old West. And it's like a Contra-style shooter meets like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles arcade game.
Okay, yeah.
It's really colorful, got a lot of personality. Since we just gotten done playing Galaxian and Berserk, which are just like really bare bones technical games, we needed something with some personality. So I never played this game, and. It's got a really great sense of humor. You step on rakes and they hit you in the balls and your guy kind of bounces back. But it's got some racism in it. It's got some sexism in it because you wander around old West towns. It's just side scrolling. You've got guns and you're looking for power ups for your guns while outlaws are shooting at you. And you can duck into the bar and cuddle up with a prostitute and get some gold for doing that and. Get drunk, get some gold for doing that.
It's not high definition racism or sexism, right?
No,
it's okay.
Yeah, I think so.
I think that's what somebody on TV said. I don't know.
It was acceptable in the 90s, so it's still acceptable today. Yeah. I think. there's boss fights at the end of each level with just like the most generic, Wild West outlaws and it's pretty fun so far. It's it keeps breaking up the action with like random scenes of, you know, you'll be running along and you'll see some chickens will pop up from one side of the screen, and all of a sudden you're in the middle of a stampede and you have to jump on top of the bulls and run on top of the bulls to avoid being damaged, and it's just a lot of fun. So
I thought you were saying it was a stampede of chickens.
Yeah, I did too. I was like, that would be awesome.
But don't kill the chickens.
And then you kill the chickens.
Again, in anything. Yeah. Do not kill the chickens. Let's see. I played a little bit of Mortal Kombat last week. That was my second biggest streaming mistake so far. I think next to playing a Mega Man game for the first time live. Playing a fighting game when you suck at fighting games live is... It's difficult.
It's hilarious.
But I think chat was at least entertained. We had some new folks drop by, and they seemed to get a kick out of the fact how terrible I was at that game. But yeah, the story mode still holds up. I forgot though that the story mode doesn't let you do fatalities, and I think that's going to be one of the factors that keeps me from pushing through the story mode, just because I've already seen the story mode, and I just was kind of trying to revisit this game on PC. The game looks great. At least when you're fighting, but they did not bother to up-res or re-render the cutscenes, so they're just like, they're, you know, 720p or maybe even less than that pre-rendered cutscenes that are just pixelated to hell when you're playing at a higher resolution. So the smooth transition that I loved on the console from the cutscenes to the action, not quite there on the PC. You can definitely see the shift, so... I have not tried out the multiplayer. I'll be curious to see if people are actually playing that on the... if there's a PC community around that.
You should stream that if you play.
Oh, I will.
I just works out how fast you get destroyed.
I will. I don't have... I mean, I don't have a problem making a fool of myself. I just more... I more worry about people being able to be entertained by me losing all of the time. So, but I figured... we would have lost some of our fans by now if that didn't entertain them with us, with how much I struggle with video games in general.
Who's your fighter in Mortal Kombat?
Well, Liu Kang's historically been my go-to guy. And then Scorpion's probably my second best. I actually started really enjoying Johnny Cage in this version. Just because his character...
That's what I was thinking.
His character's so over the top, and then... because he, I mean, I hate Johnny Cage in general, but they just, like, they embraced, he just was all out, like, Johnny Cage set to 11, you know, for this game, and there was something endearing about that, that, you know, he's got his fucking name tattooed across his chest, like, it's ridiculous.
So he never forgets.
And I like his shadow kick, and the fact that at the end of every fight, he'll have broken sunglasses, and he'll reach in his pocket and put on a fresh pair of sunglasses.
Always prepared.
Also, the complete edition on the PC comes with all the DLC characters, so randomly running into Freddy Krueger is kind of weird, because he was the last character they added as DLC.
Oh, Freddy Krueger?
Freddy
Krueger? Huh. Yeah. That's interesting.
I also played some... I finally finished the main storyline of DLC Quest. I had played that before on Xbox Live Indie Games and just kind of loved it for its concept that, you know, the first thing you have to do in the game is find enough coins to buy the ability to run left, because you can only run right and you can't jump. And then the second thing you want to buy is animation, so your character doesn't just slide across the screen. And it builds and builds from there, and the writing's really clever, and it's really short. I had no idea. It's basically only two stages, so if you haven't seen that through or just getting a taste of it, it's funny enough to finish. And then they, I believe they released some actual DLC for it that is free, and they call it their freemium edition. So I'm sure there's some free to play jokes in that section of the game. Lastly, we played Borderlands 2, some 4-player last night, and I also played a good chunk of it this weekend, because I've been looking to build up the Psycho character, just because...
It's cool.
Oh, yeah, nice. He's cool, and So I've been playing him solo, but this made me replay the opening 10 levels of character progression again for like at least the 6th time for me. And it's wearing a little thin.
Yeah, that's not the best part. Yeah.
So I wrote about this a little bit, but the way that I've entertained myself is I'm actually using a walkthrough guide to make sure that I am getting everything I can in each of these opening levels, just because I've done them so many times. So I found, like, you know, I found all the vault symbols and all the telescopes and like that kind of thing. But I was going to corners that I hadn't been to before, and that was at least distracting enough for me to push through. Because, man, up through that Captain Flint fight, I want someone else to play it for me. But
I've got that memorized.
Yeah. That's a really with playing Diablo 3 and Torchlight 2 and some of those games, like, I play multiple characters, and it's easy to get through those sections in the very beginning because, again, they're so fast. But Borderlands 2, I have yet to have any sort of motivation to go back and try it with somebody else. It's just tough, man. That's a really bad... They recognize that was an issue, actually, in the new game plus... you avoid that section, which is good, because that sucked on New Game Plus to actually go through that section again. That wasn't fun. So
do they basically start you like at Sanctuary or something?
I believe so. Yeah, like right after. Sense. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Because that's where the game starts to open up, and you have options. It's just like it's so linear right there, and you don't have vehicles. You can't. It's just a ton of backtracking. But I really dig the Psycho character. Because his, you know, his primary ability is just to go crazy and try to axe kill everything, and when you kill anything, you automatically have full health, and it's pretty powerful. Like you're just about to die, you trigger that for one last attempt, and I was killing badasses in like 3 swings, and he was really starting to grow on me. So I thought I would switch over to him when we played multiplayer. He's still a little bit behind where our group is at. So I continue to play with the Gunzerker and actually started having fun with him again, because I finally read up on what his actual Gunzerking skill does. The fact that it also gives you health whenever you kill things, so I was using it more. But Cole and I were playing with Nelmar, jumped in for a little bit, and he was level 1, we were level 10, and we got him leveled up to like level 6 in about 30 minutes, so that was kind of funny to witness, just how fast he was able to jump in and kind of keep pace. And then we continued on with a four player group. Aaron was in there, and then Cole's cousin Andy, who actually works with Jason on the Evolution of Gaming podcasts on their YouTube channel. And I don't think I'd ever played that. Well, I'd never been in that many firefights with just 4 people. We were kind of building up to that point, but we got into some really... We did the Firehawk mission, and things got really crazy. And just the amount of badasses, and we had a lot of loot goons.
Loot midgets, yeah. Loot midgets galore.
And it just gets really chaotic and really, really fun. It's just... It's a completely different pace when you're playing with that many people. And for someone that put 100-plus hours into Borderlands 1... single player, like I haven't really gotten heavy into the 4 player, and it's just completely feels like a new game to me.
And I can agree with that.
It's awesome. And plus I got some orange grenades that spawn like 16 child grenades, and everything blows up whenever I want it to, and that entertains me a lot.
are you guys playing on PC or 360?
We're playing PC, so this is one of those starting over, because on the new platform. So
cool.
We're about a level 12 now, I think. So
that's about right.
We'll keep pushing through. We'll probably play that once a week or once every other week with some of our group. I'm less worried about having like a core group of 4 people always on the same mission. That's kind of how we started it. I think we'll keep it a little looser and just let people jump in and out and keep it fun that way. So
sounds good.
Yep. Ethan, what have you been playing, buddy?
Well, speaking of not being very good at games, you were talking about Mortal Kombat. I was actually thinking about streaming Awesome Knots the other day, as kind of an introductory session, and I'm not very good at that game at all. That's a tough fucking game, and that little stealth lizard's a little bitch. I started off with the Cowboy, and I like the Cowboy.
Cowboy's solid, man.
He's really solid. It's a really good introductory character. I just was really learning the ropes when I played this past weekend. That's a lot of fun. Like, I really didn't know what to expect from it. But again, I think, Justin, you've said it's a very good introduction to the idea, the concept, the mechanics, if you will, of a MOBA.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Without the, I lost a lot. I got killed by, the opponents, which isn't good in a MOBA, which I found out really quickly.
No. People get pissed at you quick.
Yeah, and they give them all kinds of gold coins and stuff. And no one got super mad at me or anything, but I know that, my deaths weren't as detrimental as maybe they would be in like a Dota 2 or a League of Legends or something along those lines. But just graphically, that game just looks really, really awesome. I forgot it looked that good. I forgot about the fucking intro.
Shit, yeah.
Which is amazing. More games need to have that, even games that are more seriously toned. Like, I think A Last of Us would benefit from, like, a introduction.
It needs, a blooper reel or something. Yeah.
Just cut down on that. But I'm looking forward to playing Awesome Outs with you guys, because, I mean, playing with people you don't know, like, you have to play the game with people. Playing games with people you don't know isn't quite as much fun, and I think we'd have a good time with it. And I'll go back to that. That's a pretty good game to pick up and just play for a little bit. So, thumbs up. I don't know what took me so long. I found out I had it because I bought a Humble Indie Bundle.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And I was going through my email, and I was like, oh, shit, I forgot about that. So I loaded all those up. I was like, yeah.
I kind of have that problem, especially around Steam sale time, of forgetting what's sitting over in my Humble account, because I never actually took the time to port it over, but I've got a lot of duplicates there. I will say Awesome Knots is a little bit slow going at first, because it takes so long to unlock all the characters. Now, granted, mm-hmm. I believe you can buy DLC to just unlock everything, but, that's another $5 or whatever it is. And there are so many characters, so it's just always kind of taunting you when you start with those three. Back when the game launched and there were only like six characters, that wasn't as big a deal, but some of those later characters are pretty awesome.
There's a ton. Holy shit.
But the game's just really, it's really fun. It just has the right amount of complexity. I don't know, and it's just, it's so accessible and also really good looking, and I can't believe they're still supporting it in the way that they are. It kind of reminds me of Dungeon Defenders in that regard, that they just keep doing more and more stuff for it. And so I hope it builds into something else, maybe get an Awesome Knots 2. I'd recommend it for just a casual game with a group of friends. We had a blast when we had, you just get six people together and play 3-on-3. Like, I don't know, it was the first time I've kind of made that connection to my sports days growing up, like playing 3-on-3 basketball and actually doing that with a video game and like kind of feeling like you're just getting the crew together and we're gonna play some 3-on-3, but it's Awesome Knots and it's better because it looks like a Saturday morning cartoon. And
there's sounds like one.
There's a dick fish.
And so, a dick fish.
Yep. Sounds like it. The other kind of stick with the side scrolling perspective, I picked up Rayman Origins, which was on Steam sale this week for pretty cheap. And I liked so far what I played. I didn't play a whole lot of it. I think it'll be kind of a fun game to go to when I've maybe had a bit of a heavy workload in terms of playing video games. Now, that's a very kind of strange way of saying that. But I play a bunch of gory-ass fucking deep games and that are just like at the end of it you're just like, God, man, I don't even want to go outside. And Rayman Origins was nothing but whimsical fun. It was a beautiful fucking game. Oh my God, yeah, it is. I like the musical aspect of it that I kind of caught on as I was playing, getting that rhythm going in. I mean, things look great. It again looks like a Saturday morning cartoon. I love the way the little creatures speak. It's so funny to go from like the distraught I feel playing a game like FTL where just everything's exploding and you're fucked the whole time.
You're fucked.
And this game where I'm just like, I'm feeling pretty good about this. So I don't know if it'll be a game that I'm going to like beat in terms of completion because
there's
a difficulty to it that I don't think I'm going to be able to quite grasp. I'm not that kind of player.
There's a precision in Rayman Origins that I played that game with my wife and that got insane trying to get through some of those sections together.
Yeah. And I could tell it's like a Donkey Kong Country in a way, in that in Donkey Kong Country the first few levels are fun, but then you get to a point where like the fun's gone. And I see Rayman is definitely going to be like that, because it's for a different class of gamer, and that's fine. I'm not that class. That's cool to me. But I like it for what it is, and I think that art style and musically it's great. It's delightful. It's a delightful little treat at the end of a blood filled day.
I think
that's really depressing. Yeah,
I'm really excited for Rayman Legends to come out. I think that's either end of August or early September. It's getting closer. They delayed it, but if you like the music at all in that game, the music levels that they're building for Rayman Legends, the one they have in the demo, it's some of the, you know, it's so happy, and you need happy games in your library.
Yes,
you do. I don't know how anybody can say anything bad about Rayman. Like,
no.
He's got no arms.
Oh, poor guy.
That's you, asshole. I have to bring that up.
Oh, man. I also happened to purchase a game that became more of an investment than I thought it was going to be. I got Euro Truck Simulator 2. Just because Mr. Josh Lee of JoshLee.com fame talked about his experiences with Euro Truck Simulator and how it made him feel like a truck driver, and that sounded pretty great to me, and the fact that I live in Europe kind of was even more of a carrot.
I'm
going
to go drive by my house.
Well, I started in Berlin, and I mean, you can start in Berlin, and I saw the big TV tower, and I wonder if I can. Well, here's the thing. I would drive by my house, but I live in an area that's not very
truck accessible.
Wide. Yeah, and I struggle to get truck onto the off-ramp, so I can only imagine what would happen to me if I try to get it near my place.
Because that's the rule with driving trucks, though. In video games, like, there are, you can take those trucks anywhere.
Well, and I will try, but man, I like how realistic it is, because I forget that about like some of these driving games that we play is there's an aspect of realism that's kind of taken away, because it wouldn't be fun. But this one, I stopped and I went off road and I was stuck. Like, I couldn't get back out, and I started to back up and I hit something. I was like, well, there's nothing behind me. And I did the look out the window, and there was a line of cars just like right behind me. I was like, oh God, I'm going to have to just give this up.
Did you feel the urge to wear a hat while playing this game?
I did wear a hat. I did, in fact, wear a hat. I have a trucker hat that I've just been sitting there, and I've really had no reason to wear it except for then, and I put it on. Almost put on a pair of overalls, but they belong to my wife, and that's a weird thing. That's a different path that I would be walking down. But I will say that Josh Lee, I emailed Josh Lee and just said, hey, man, I got this. I got maybe a show idea, because, you know, we were always thinking of ways to make videos out of video games, and he just responded with, get a steering wheel. And so I was like, oh, shit. So I'm like, you know, I spent, what, like $9.99 on the game, and I'll end up spending, you know, $60 or however much steering wheel periphery, whatever, you know what I fucking mean, the steering wheel, how much that
fake
costs.
Steering wheel.
And, but I think it'd be fun. I think it'll be a whole lot of fun. And it's an interesting game. It's a sim game. I've never really gotten into the driving, flying sims. But this one, I don't know. I may live out a dream, and when I come back to the States, I may have a new occupation.
I think you should try to play this game for an 8-hour shifts, and try to convince your wife that you can't. You just came home from a long day on the road, and see how long she plays along, and then see how long it takes her to make you uninstall the game.
Well, I'll just tell
is
her.
Is that
I'm
your show idea?
Online trucking classes, you know, like that's what I'm doing right now.
Where do
FTL,
truckers stop?
It's a little bit you know, tough to convince her that I'm going to be a spaceship pilot, but trucking, I don't know, you know, that's a thing.
Does Europe have like their own waffle houses? Like, do truckers stop at a waffle house? Drink coffee, eat a bunch of pancakes.
You know, pancakes aren't a huge thing. They eat sandwiches for every meal. That's one thing. That's one thing that happens.
Like a breakfast sandwich with syrup.
No, it's just a regular, plain old sandwich. They do have truck stops here, which is a great thing. But and people drink coffee, some usual things. But they just don't have the greasiness that is inherent to American trucker culture that I think... I mean, their truckers are pretty well dressed, like, for the most part. Our truckers are just gritty as hell. In a fist fight between our truckers...
Fancy truckers.
Our truckers would fuck them up. Like, I'm sorry. Sorry, Europe, but you guys would have no chance against our truckers. Our truckers are fucking tough.
That's American truckers are scrappy.
Yeah, they're real scrappy. Yeah,
all those waffles. Shit.
Yeah, they eat a lot of waffles.
Trucker Olympics. Let's make it happen.
I'm filled to the brim with waffles, but I will punch you in the face. Nothing will stop me.
I'm American.
Maybe you shouldn't play that. You might turn into an angry individual, actually.
Yeah, well, I might. I like waffles a lot, so no telling.
I'd play American Truck Simulator.
Yeah, it's got a lot of different side games. Yeah.
You just eat waffles.
Get a hand job here and there.
Yeah, I was going to say. The truck stops are handled completely differently.
Yeah.
I actually use GTA's engine for some of it. Just,
the hot coffee engine.
Anything else, Ethan?
I'm going to start streaming Call of Cthulhu. I don't know if that's how you pronounce it. We've already discussed this. I started to stream it today, and you know what? I'm very happy to say that game has aged, maybe not graphically well, but mechanically. It's a sound game. Still got a hell of a lot of atmosphere, and I love H.P. Lovecraft. I love everything that came out of that sick, twisted man's mind. Some great shit, and I'm looking forward to playing through that game. I really am. I'm really pumped up about it. You know, obviously, it's an aged game, so not unlike cheese, there are some stenches that aren't particularly attractive, but you get over it because classy people eat stinky old cheese.
And now I get that it's older, and so I'm not commenting on the actual, like, character models or the geometry or anything like that, but, like, why are all the, like, why are all the characters ugly and they just, the voice work, they just sound not so inhuman. They're just angry people.
The voice work overall is mediocre, but the town that you're dealing with, and I don't know if this is going to be spoilers, let me just say this. The townsfolk themselves are not what they appear to
be. Okay.
Read the short story Shadow Over Innsmouth, which is, this game is based on a couple of H.P. Lovecraft stories, but that's this area that we're dealing with at this point. And, those people are, there's weird shit going on in that town, so there'll be more of that. But yeah, no, they're not just at first the impression you're supposed to get is it's a town full of the Killjacks and, like, you know, inbred people, but they're not inbred, they've actually bred outside their comfort zone to a point that is diabolical. Let me just say that. Spoiler free. They fuck fish people. is that okay? It's enough. There's enough for them.
I'll fill in the blanks.
Yeah.
That porn was immediately banned from the UK. What?
But the truckers still watch it.
Yeah, so they love it.
So you think you're going to see that through on the live stream?
I think so, but there's a lot of things I think I'll see through, and it doesn't always happen, yeah. So we'll just I'll have to keep motivate on that. Just because I want people to, one, I think, like Eternal Darkness, that there's two games that stand out in my mind from that generation, Eternal Darkness and this game, in terms of atmosphere and in terms of just, like, this is not an action game that has action elements to it, but this is strictly an adventure horror type game. I think they need to revisit Mr. H.P. Lovecraft a lot more in gaming, not just as a nod to him, because basically most monsters and aliens you see in one way or another came from some of his creations. But I mean, there's some great stories. I think I thought they were making a game based on Over the Mountains of Madness. That's not right. Through the Mountains of Madness, whatever that is.
Mad Mountains.
Yeah, it was the Mountains of Madness, whatever that is. It's my brain isn't working at this point. But there's a lot of material. He's got a lot of material. He's got some material that's almost like you couldn't do anything with it just because that's how he writes. But I mean, there's a ton of potential just in that whole the mythos behind it all. I mean, you could do some cool shit with it. And this game achieved it quite well.
You mentioned a long time ago, it's just one of your favorite kind of horror experiences, and I think it's up there on the classics list for a lot of people. I've never really played it, but I think when I jumped on your stream, Aaron, you were making L.A. Noire jokes, but, like, seriously, the amount of, like, what's the word? The amount of narration in the game kind of surprised me, but it also sets a really cool noir-like tone, and I mean, I don't know, I've been thinking about that, like, what else I want to see Rockstar do, and I think they could do something really cool with, like, this would be out of their element quite a bit, but at the same time, I think they could pull it off if they did that kind of more detective story that was kind of showing itself.
That would be a game that I would play the absolute shit out of. Like that, I mean, like a paranormal type detective. We could talk about this in pitches, but yeah, because I mean, that would be great, you know, investigating weird shit like that. You know, oh man, that would be really cool. You know,
yeah, Rockstar should step up their game and, you know, make something where you try to open doors and there's maybe 50 different lines about that door being locked.
Yeah, that was really impressive though. There's a distinct difference between the dialogue and opening different doors. So one door he may say, "Ah, oh, I can't get in this." That other door he may say, "Nah, this door's not gonna give." Another line may be, "Eh, I'll come back." Rockstar needs to stop making shitty fucking whatever that shitty game that's coming out, that fifth installment of that franchise that nobody cares about anymore. You know. Stop focusing on that shit and get to real games.
Guys. Grand Theft Doorknob.
Yeah.
Nope, not going to open this one.
Nope.
Okay, I think... you got anything else, Ethan?
Sorry. No, that's it.
I lost my train of thought. I was back to thinking about how much dialogue they recorded, but they only did the one line for him not reading, wanting to read a book. Like, I'm not gonna
yeah.
I'm not a pen pusher. I'm a detective. He's like, and then in the very next scene, he's literally pushing a pen and then he's like writing diaries. Like he keeps a diary after he says that. I'm just like, you fucking hypocrite.
Dear diary, I'm a liar.
I'm a goddamn hypocrite.
Now's the part of the show where we put a bunch of peer pressure on Aaron to write a review and talk about the stuff that we're working on. What are you doing, Aaron? Yes. What are you up to?
Well, I've gotten my radio waves going again, and that's been kind of easy. I just pretty much shoot the breeze on those and talk about Animal Crossing a little bit. Those write themselves. Yeah. But the reviews, I've played a number of games that have just kind of gotten away from us, and we haven't been able to talk about them because Justin won't finish them. So
it's pushing it back on me.
You share the blame. Last of Us, I haven't shared my opinion on that, Bioshock Infinite, but yeah, I don't want to write a review for those. I think we've agreed on that. We kind of, those are more talkable, worthy things because everyone's throwing out tens and fives and thumbs ups.
So join us in 2014 for our opinions on The Last of Us and Bioshock Infinite.
Yeah, so during our Game of the Year discussion.
We won't be able to talk about it then.
Yeah, those won't even be nominated.
Yeah.
Those games won't make it, so I'll try to find some way to talk about games that maybe I don't want to do like a formal review, but just kind of talk about new stuff that I'm playing that people are maybe already aware of.
You experimented with trying to do a Game Curious video offline. I know that didn't fly too well, but...
Those indie games destroyed me on trying to do my first Game Curious. I really wanted to show off the Swapper because... I'm like, that got a little bit of exposure. Some people were aware of that, but I'm like, oh, that would be a good one to actually show off to the crowd here. And that game just hates Open Broadcaster or something because it would not stream properly at all. Like, I could get it to show up in the window with a certain setting, but it wouldn't record the animation. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, I give up. I flipped a table and everything. And then Gunpoint was the other one. That one I could kind of get to work. Right, but it was still so much of a hassle, and Verdian tried the demo and didn't understand it, and so I was like, I'll flip another table.
And so, then I broke all the tables and rolled my computer.
I'm not a detective, I'm a table fixer. And so I'll eventually play some stuff and get some reviews up. But yes, the summertime, you think people would have all the time in the world, but you become an adult and you have no time, regardless of what season it is. So I'm hoping to get some kind of review out. Maybe if I finish Shin Megami Tensei, I'll tell the world about it.
Pick the short RPG to finish and write a review on it, yeah.
Yeah, so I'll write something. Games will come out, and then new consoles will come out.
And sounds like you're streaming this Thursday, so...
Yes, Torchlight 2 Thursday. I don't know if that'll become a regular thing just because of my schedule and whoever had Thursday before me, but...
Yeah.
I'm hoping to play most of that game online with Nilmar and others who are welcome to join. I'll stream it, say what you want, curse, be polite, I don't care. We're going to click on things and get loot.
We're going to click on things. That's a good segment title. And then you can look for Aaron. He'll be showing up here about every other week-ish on the Night Force.
Yes. And
so that should keep Ethan entertained. We can't keep the same people on the show, or else Ethan starts to dislike them and they run away from us. At least that's what I'm assuming will happen with Josh. But
yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Ethan, what are you working on, buddy?
So finally got the Michael Stearns interview pulled together. I had a hell of a time with that, but we took it to the next level and featured it throughout the week. So we've split that into, or Justin split that into four parts, and we're featuring that throughout this week. So may not be as heavy on writing this week, but you've got that going on. But the really exciting news that I'm really personally is we'll be at Gamescom.
We as in a
spiritual we mostly, but I will be going to Gamescom. Press credentials came in, so that's a great thing. That's always a nerve wracking process because that kind of, you know, if you're not recognized as a journalist, then it's kind of like, oh shit, what the fuck are we doing? So we are going, or I am going. I'm trying to assemble a team, a freelance themed team, to do some videos. Worst case scenario, it will be a first-person perspective of Gamescom from the viewpoint of
Doom: Gamescom.
I'm excited to go, and I have no idea what's going to happen. It's a huge, huge conference, biggest one in Europe, I believe, and hopefully some cool stuff comes out of it. But if anything, I could just look at some real nice cosplay tits. So that's, I guess, worst-case scenario. Because there's a lot of them there.
And then you could have some conversation material for Reddit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, oh, they'll love that. Yeah, that's what all the photo albums have been going up in there. But no, and really, actually, Gamescom is really cheap by comparison to some of the other conventions. I was really surprised. It's like €35 for like a couple day pass or something, or €65 for the week. So I mean, if you're in Europe and you can get down to it, I mean, definitely go. Cologne looks like a cool city. I've never been, so I'll be hanging out there. Come talk to me, because I'll either be with a lot of people or completely by myself and looking very lost. So, but I'll do my best.
I'm actually working on a lot of video stuff right now. Two are kind of similar. I'm starting to cut together a Mega Man Unlimited death reel, kind of similar to what I did for the Psychonauts piece, and then, like I said, for Skyrim, some sort of montage about my relationship with Lydia, because she's really carrying me through that game, and I'm pretty sure the chat audience enjoys her more than they enjoy me, so she deserves her moment in the sun. If you define moment in the sun by just a montage of me insulting her and killing her. So that's forthcoming, but that kind of actually brings up a question I wanted to pose to you guys. As far as our style of, like, we've got our daily highlights that, you know, we do those on a regular basis, but these kind of montage things, I'm trying to figure out what else to do with them, especially since, Ethan, you put together, you essentially turned a highlight clip of your FTL run into a Brotabulous video, and trying to find a style of video somewhere in between what I'm doing with the highlights and just a straight up montage, because those are... You're trying to find a story to tell with some of these things. So I think the Lydia piece will come out all right, but I'm not sure about the Mega Man piece, what else to do with that, because I don't know. We're just watching a 90 seconds to 3 minutes of repetitive deaths in Mega Man may not be as entertaining as...
it may be super entertaining.
It could be. It could be.
Yeah. was going to say, because when Josh died on Super Meat Boy again and again and again and again, we could have laughed forever and ever.
I actually still need to put that up. I pulled that clip a long time ago. His Dark World run, especially the one level where he dies 70 times.
Mm-hmm. That was good.
I will have to dig that back up. Well, I have random Josh Lee archive moments, but man. But yeah, if anybody from chat or anybody you guys have any ideas about potential other ways to do highlight reels or kind of gameplay videos, I'm definitely there's something else out there besides just doing a montage or an all out Brotabulous piece, but so I'm exploring that a little bit. And then this week I'm actually giving a presentation at work about the gamification of Steam, and I'm putting together not a PowerPoint but an online presentation. And when I get that done, I'm going to write an article on it and post it to the site. So I just thought that was kind of funny that, I'm going to put a PowerPoint up on the website is basically all I'm saying. But aside from the trading cards really came into their own this past week with the Steam sale. But just if you look at where Steam's community was, 2 years ago, your like personal profile, it's been a fascinating growth, and they, ever since they started selling hats in Team Fortress 2, just Steam's quietly been paving the way for a while, and I'm going to take kind of a long look at that and hopefully have a somewhat interesting article or at least a humorous PowerPoint presentation with funny animations and wave files buried in them. But
who would have imagined that Steam would go from hats and just snowball into all this other stuff that stops you from playing the games they highly entice you to buy.
I mean, the platform itself is now a game. It was just kind of that moment of like, what has happened? It's like the fucking Lego Movie, the video game that's coming out. Like things are just like becoming themselves. It's very
cats
very
are
odd.
Dogs.
Yeah. So, all right, game pitches, chat, if you've got anything you want to see us tangent off of and try to make a game off of. We had a few ideas pop up earlier in the show, and I think we should start off with revisiting what we want Rockstar to do with the Cthulhu games. You seem like you had a little bit of a bigger idea there, maybe, Ethan.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, I didn't play L.A. Noire, but I kind of get the impression of what it was. You can maybe combine something like that with maybe your Red Dead Redemption, looking at the time period between those two games is the time period you want, and having an open world, but instead of just kind of focusing on shooting and stuff, kind of the more investigation side of things, putting clues together, kind of going to take reference from Secret World a little bit with how there were some puzzles incorporated into that game that kind of required some real-world knowledge and some actually in-game knowledge. Now, this game, you'd want more in-game knowledge, but if you stuck within the mythos of H.P. Lovecraft stuff, having that knowledge would help as well. But I just imagine I love that. I mean, that time period's great because, like, that was before humans had, extremely accurate machine guns and jets and all that kind of stuff. I mean, we were getting there, but there was kind of an inherent weakness.
Extremely
we
accurate jets.
Yeah, extremely accurate jets. But I think it'd be really cool and just not be just a, brainless shooter, but it could be something a little bit more than that.
I think that's like kind of the initial appeal of L.A. Noire was that it, wasn't taking place modern day. It was a little bit, and I think you nailed it that. That's what I want to see Rockstar do, tackle another period in time. And they're just so good with their narrative, and they only focus it on, crime-related stories. And I'd like to see what they could do with something a little bit more fantastical, but also, keep a little bit of a serious tone to it. So, just when you said that game looked like an early L.A. Noir, it was just really sticking with me. But, what the hell are you writing, Aaron? Tell me what's going on here.
I just went balls to the wall deep on this game pitch, but it's an amalgamation of everything we've talked about in the last couple hours. But I'm thinking maybe a game that's, it's like a meta game, kind of like the Steam trading cards, but instead of that, you're collecting trucks and waffles, and you travel around Europe, but then you go into space. And that's where things just, like, once you have enough trucks and waffles to power yourself, you go up into space, and you just, you start fighting people.
Are you talking about a waffle-powered truck space shuttle?
I am. I'm talking about a waffle-powered truck space shuttle.
I was thinking he was thinking about a truck-powered waffle.
That's no, you're wrong. You gotta get the order right.
I guess if you put enough trucks behind the waffle iron, you could probably propel yourself into space.
Fuel that shit right to space.
Yeah. What happens in space?
Anything your heart desires.
I was gonna say, what doesn't happen in space?
You've got trucks and waffles, and you just turn that into energy, and you just go hog wild amongst the stars. But the joy of this is, it's like that zombie game that people play on, you know, college campuses. Everyone's playing like the zombie stuff. But this is like real. You've got your trucks, your waffle energy, you're in space, and then all of a sudden it's funded by the people that made Taken, of course. The producers of Taken helped make this a reality. And the president's daughter is there, Maggie Grace. You know, she's up in there too. You gotta protect her, but everyone's just fighting each other. It's like Cube World with trucks and waffles.
I'm pretty sure you just made the prequel to StarCraft.
This is what leads to the creation of the Zerg. The Americans who go up are just, you know, they're grimy and they're just ready to kill, and they eventually evolve into the Zerg.
It's like the space truckers had to come from somewhere.
Oh, in short, this is just Cube World with trucks and waffles.
Those are the two things missing from Cube World right now.
Well, that's space and waffles.
That's absolutely true. They have pancakes, though.
There's pancakes. I didn't see any waffles.
I did find some pancakes. I think if you give them to a monkey, the monkey joins you. I don't remember all the details on that.
You throw
trucks and waffles into any game, you're gonna get some eyes open. You know, you're gonna get some people knocking on your door saying, "Excuse me, this sounds like a delightful game." The chaos of space is always a backdrop that we can always fall back on, but I just imagine how chaotic it gets when waffles are on the line. You know what I mean?
I mean, yeah. There's a reason that waffles haven't been introduced in games very often, and that's because of they're uncontrollable.
It's just like, take your most favorite storyline, introduce waffles to them, and you lose it. Like, it's just no longer, like, Last of Us, like, you know, Joel and Ellie will be slitting each other's throats for those waffles. Like, you can't contain the absolute power and majesty, if you will, of waffles. I'm so fucking hungry right now. I haven't had a waffle for so long. Oh, my gosh.
Just bratwurst, beer, coffee, and...
Bratwurst and beer, coffee.
that's it.
I dip my bratwurst into my beer, coffee, and that's what we have every morning, every single day. Oh, man. Day.
World War III would launch off if Germany had those waffles.
I love some waffles. And Belgium is so close to me. Like, I don't know why I don't even just take a trip down there and get some.
Don't they just, like, have them on the border, just waiting for you?
They have these big plates full of them. There's big trucks they make on them the border. And they open the doors of the trucks and they just shoot waffles.
Yeah, I was gonna say, is there an IHOP? It's international.
I haven't seen one. Is it?
That's what the first. That's what the I stand. That's what
I thought it was Interplanetary House of Pancakes. That's what I was.
It's the IHOW.
They would have to change their branding at all.
House of Waffles.
Intergalactic House of Pancakes.
Intergalactic House of Waffles. I was hoping for like a minute straight of Ethan laughing.
Oh, I probably could. The passion in your voice behind this waffle truck, you know, mashup is what really gets
waffle
me
trucking that. Space waffle trucking
space waffle trucks boop boop.
We don't even need to hire movie voice over guy. We can just use that line.
Aaron McNeil presents.
I want the voice actor from Cthulhu in my game, though.
Yeah, he should be in every game.
How are we going to get all these waffles into space?
Can't open this door. Too many waffles behind it.
Yeah.
all of the waffles are gone. It must have been
the waffles.
The space fish people. We can tie this back into Cthulhu, I think, if we keep heading down this path.
Cthulhu fits into anything.
Yeah.
We talked a little bit about demons and the Winchesters earlier, but how about an exorcist game? Like, where you actually... You take that whole investigation engine from L.A. Noire. I don't know why we're talking about L.A. Noire so much this episode. But it just, it was kind of intrigued me that you kind of have that moment where you can either save or kill this demon and just the repercussions of those acts. So basically L.A. Noire meets Supernatural, meets an exorcist game.
Do you negotiate with these demons? Do they
I think it's
money?
Up to you. I don't think you should, but some bad shit can happen if you do. Because maybe these are, you know, they're low-level demons, and you just want to get these guys off the street and get to the big dogs.
Get them off the streets.
The demon knights.
Schools.
Yeah, get to Abaddon. You know, you don't care about low-level demon.
Mm-mm.
Trade up some trucks and waffles.
Oh, man, maybe you make a deal with the devil, and that's what you get.
Waffles?
Waffles?
a space truck full of waffles, and then after that, you're like the first generation of a family who's forever cursed by the greedy ass fucking great great grandpa who just fucking couldn't get his fill of waffles, and now you're fighting demons for that. Yeah.
There was so much logic I couldn't follow it.
I think we need to go have some waffles. I think that's it for Night Force tonight.
Breakfast
thanks for putting up with us, Chad.
Yeah.
We appreciate it. Make yourself some waffles. You deserve it.
Yeah,
absolutely. That's the only way to end the evening. So, we will be back with another episode next week. I think Jason will be joining us. Jet lag from his trip through Arkansas, and we'll catch you with more live streaming on Horrible Night real soon.
Yes.